Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, what's happening? What's going on? Thanks for tuning in and checking out the show. Welcome to Civilianization. I'm Joshua O'Brien, the host of this mess, and welcome to the mess that is. And let's see here. Speaking of civilianization, going from the military to the civilian world, it's a weird transition. I think it's important to understand a lot of the shit you're going to go through or people have gone through to get there. Here's the biggest thing. Annotate everything. If you haven't figured it out by now, that everything you've done in the military, you need to fucking have that shit written down. But one of the things that's going to help you out the most is having proper annotation, proper documentation. So you want to make sure that you've got all of your medical records and scan them yourself one-sided. And the reason why I say scan them one-sided is that some lazy fuck is going to scan them in and he's only going to do one side. And he's probably a great guy. I just want you to put in your head that it's some lazy piece of shit. It's probably a great guy. Probably a great person. Probably a former vet. Probably some of it was a yeoman and very great with the fucking administrative side of the house. But imagine a fucking lazy, fat piece of shit that doesn't want to do anything, and he or she is the fucking person scanning your shit in. So just think about that. Okay, so if you have everything one-sided, it's easier for them to scan. Also, you separate your medical and your mental health. Make sure you have two separate piles, both one-sided. And make sure you keep one for yourselves, just in case something happens, because we all know that God bless you guys that were on the admin side while you were in the military. But we all know that it's not as faithful as we'd like it to be, unfortunately. And, well, for me, I can't tell you what's going to happen for you or anybody else. But I can say for myself, they told me that within 2 to 3 weeks, I was going to get seen by the doctor after I submitted my paperwork. Well, that didn't quite happen. It was actually the day after I became a civilian. So, you know, I don't know where the miscommunication was or whatever, but who gives a shit? I just know that I had to see the doc the day after I became a civilian. I dropped papers back in March, and I was supposed to see the doc at the end of May, early June. And I didn't see the doctor until August 2nd. August 1st was my first day of civilianism, and what that process took me through was this. I talked in March. I talked to a cool guy. He was a VA rep. I won't say VA. That's misleading. This guy worked for the VA, and I gave him all my paperwork. He seemed pretty cool. He's like, no problem. He took it downtown. A lot of places you're going to have to mail it in from wherever you are. And he was the one who was like, oh yeah, we should see you within like 6 weeks, whatever the hell. Well, that never happened. Fast forward to when I finally found out, I got an email and also I found out on eBenefits that I was supposed to go on these appointments. And I become a civilian. I go terminal in May. I go on vacation. I do all this cool shit. Drive around the United States clockwise. Really did drive around the entire United States. That's another story for another time. Got back to L.A. and being the stand-up comic I am, just grinded it out, hit a couple open mics, still waited, trying to hope that I was going to see a doc. I sent an email in, got no response, called. No response. Next thing you know, I'm told, hey, you got to be at this place. And I had maybe, I think, about 10 days notice when I finally did have my appointments. So it was the end of July. Now, I wrote down everything that I had, boo-boos and all that other shit, or any of my ailments. And I highly suggest you do the same thing, because if not, you're going to get fucked. So, the first things first is my hearing. I said my hearing's bad no matter what. I got hearing, I got some sort of hearing loss, because there's certain tones I can't hear, and my ears are always going to ring. So, I had to sit in the booth, just like your typical everyday audiogram, and push the button when you heard a deet, 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 and all that other bullshit. You know the drill. Same thing, nothing changes. She's like, hey, you know what? Your hearing is kind of low. We might have to refer you to somebody else. And she's like, she wasn't sure. And I might end up having to see, do another audiogram some other time, blah, blah, blah. Here's the kicker. That doctor I talked to, and one later that afternoon, they are not VA reps. They're not. They don't work for the VA. They're all subcontracted. Now, I've heard a couple different stories. Don't quote me on this, but apparently there's a shit ton of backup on the VA people trying to get everybody through. So they subcontracted it out to Lockheed Martin. And we do our initial interviews through them. And that gets sent up to the VA, where the VA sits down. And there's like 8 to 12 docs, some shit like that. And they go through all your medical records. And they go through this Q&A process that we're going to go in more depth about. And they bounce all that shit off and say, yeah, you are approved for this. No, you're not approved for this. And so, like, you're ringing in your ears. If you can't hear, or you have permanent ringing in your ears, that's like 10%. So you take an aggregated sum. They take all the percentages, add them together, and say, this is where you're at. I don't know. It's kind of like the fucking difference between the Kelley Blue Book value of your body and whatever dealerships use. Because they definitely don't use the same thing as a Kelley Blue Book, right? So, after going through all that bullshit, they'll tell you your percentage, and that's how much you get paid for the rest of your life, or a lump sum, or whatever the fuck the case might be. Now, back to that day. Going back to the after the hearing test, like I said, she said, I might have to see somebody else, and I did. A couple weeks later, which would be today, was my last audiogram. I had to do the whole thing all over again. Plus, instead of just my ears, they also had a thing where they put it on the back of my head, and I could actually, it wasn't just for hearing, but I could actually feel it beep. And that, and the day of my original audiogram, I had to see a head doctor. I sat down and I talked to him about all the shit I went through, that, you know, I went and some other stuff, and he's like, I really don't want to know about all that. I just want to know about your one bad day. So when you fill out your paperwork for, when you fill out your paperwork for benefits, they only care about one bad day that you've ever had. That's it. They don't give a fuck about your entire whatever. That's the thing later on down the line. But what you can do to help yourself is make sure if you have a problem, or you know a troop has a problem, go fucking see the doc. Don't get wrapped up in the stigma of, oh no, I'll lose my job, or all any of that other bullshit. If you need to go see a doc, go see a doc. The bottom line is, if that's what you got to do, fucking do it. And then also, that's one thing. Another thing too is that there's always going to be medical documentation or mental documentation. So what you want to do is take two copies of your medical record. You're going to want to separate anything that's mental health and your regular health history, and keep copies. If I'm repeating myself, so be it. But I recorded this once and it deleted, and I don't remember what I already talked about or not. And no, I'm not stoned. I wish I was. Next thing is the whole head doctor thing. Definitely. If you're still active duty, go talk to a doc. If you've ever seen anything at all, make sure you talk to the doctor. You definitely want to make sure you get that taken care of. And after that, I was done for, that was this Tuesday the 2nd. Wednesday the 3rd was the day I had to go back in. And on that day, I had to fucking find out exactly every single thing that hurts on my body. I mean, this woman was evil. She was nice spirited, but she was evil inside. Oh my God. I think she might have been, I don't know, might have been like the Angel of Death's helper in Auschwitz or something like that. Because this lady could pinpoint pain on your body like you would not fucking believe it. So make sure you have all your ducks in a row. If you were ever hurting while you were active duty or anything like that, make sure you just write it down. Get a good categorized list of where it hurts, why, and if you can remember when prior to even going there. Because that's the questions they're going to ask you. Because I have ankles, shoulders, hips, thighs, wrists, thumbs, neck, back. Those are just a beginning of all the shit that was wrong with me. And it's still wrong with me. It's fucked up. After 20 years of doing construction and combat, jumping on and off a truck, doing mountain training, trying to clear rooms, you've got all these ailments and things that hurt. So make life easier on yourself before you go in and you talk to this lady fucking from Auschwitz. Jesus Christ. Make sure you have a list of all that stuff, because not only is it helpful for you, but it's going to save a lot of time. It's helpful for him or for her or him or whomever it might be, because she went all around my kneecaps, my elbows. Oh man, she put two knuckles deep in my butthole. That's a joke. She did not touch my butthole. If you have hemorrhoids, though, you got to sign a waiver and they look at your butthole. They look at it. They don't touch it. They just stare at your butthole, because I just wanted to make sure that I had everything marked down on there. And athlete's foot. I'm not going to tell you that 4 days before you go, you should wear the same pair of socks like in a row. But I am going to tell you this, is that if you're going to write something down, you're going to take the time to write it down, you better have an ailment for that when they go through all your bullshit. So if you wanted to wear socks 4 days prior and because you've had athlete's foot and you want to trigger it, that's totally on you. But what I am going to say is that if you're taking like painkillers or anything like that, that's something I would stop doing like 4 days to maybe a week before. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an advocate. So I can't exactly tell you how long you should go before that. But I can say this, man, is that you want to make sure you give yourself the best option for everything. And that was pretty much it. I had to, as far as the pain doctor lady, Miss Auschwitz herself. Then they kicked me down the hallway. I had to give blood. Typical bullshit. I looked at the eye chart on the wall. What else? Answered a couple more questions. And then I got x-rays. Now, the thing is this. With the x-rays I got, they should have done MRIs. Because the shit I have, all my problems, you can't really see with x-rays. It's kind of a waste of time. But they did them anyway, because I've had pneumonia before while I was in the military, so they looked at my lungs. I've had shoulder surgery, so they looked at my shoulders. I have osteonecrosis, which means I have bone death. My hips are dying. So they took x-rays of that. That should have been an MRI. There's a lot of things that should have been MRIs. I know I'm beating it up. But the thing is this, is they do x-rays. When they do the x-rays, though, if you do the one I went to in Canoga Park, that fucking machine looks like it's older than the first Frankenstein movie, because it's got the wheelie turny things on it and it's just fucking old as shit, and they really need updated equipment. Hopefully, if this was actually active duty people and they seen that kind of equipment, it'd be just, it's unsat. If I was still in the military, that's what I would call it. I would say it's fucking unsat. That they have shit that was probably around before my father was born. And that's pretty fucked up because I'm kind of old. The next day after I had all that stuff go down, I had one more appointment. And mind you, I live by LAX. I had to drive all the way up to Santa Barbara, you know. And that is a motherfucker. So in other words, I had a 3-hour drive to my optometrist. And I have floaties in my eyes. I have eye problems. And the thing was this, is that the guy was really, really super cool. And he went through the whole steps and You know, he was cool enough to the point that I did not just the testing. He asked if I had glasses. I used to wear glasses, and I was diagnosed as, like, me and Mikey B, we were in battalion together, and we both seen a doc, and we got glasses then, but that was the last time I wore glasses. And I've seen Mikey B several times ever since then. He's in a battalion right now. I think he's in 4, if you know who I'm talking about. But he's not wearing glasses right now, you know. But anyways, I knew I should probably get a prescription, but I didn't say or didn't ask whatsoever. And the doc was cool as shit. He's like, look, I can't really give you a prescription per se, but if you found one on the floor, and then there you go. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And so I happened to find a prescription that probably matches me on the floor that day. And that was, God bless you, man. That was fucking awesome. And that was it. So basically, what did we learn today? We learned that we should make one side of your entire medical record. You should also separate your mental health from your regular medical health record. That you turn all that stuff into a VA representative that comes and talks to you if you're in Port Hueneme, or you might have to send it out. Either way, make sure you talk to your PSD and those kind of people. And then wait. Hurry up and wait. While you still have, if you have a CAC card, in other words, the people who don't understand, it's a card with a microchip on it. It's a lot like the credit cards that are coming out nowadays. And that chip has all your vital information on it. So you're going to want to put that together and log into the eBenefits website. And if you can do that, what will happen is that you'll create a page, and you'll also be able to create entries. This is what a buddy of mine, Jake Schumann, when I went and visited him up in Folsom, not in prison, he owns a motorcycle shop up there. So when I visited my buddy Jake, he's like, dude, anytime you need shit for the VA, you can just scan and upload your documents. So you can do that. If you have to just scan all your documents and upload it, so be it. And that's the cool thing about eBenefits too. And it will tell you, hey, this is how many things that you have in and what you're claiming. You know, so that's another good thing. And a pain in the ass. What else am I missing? Am I missing something else? Fuck, I'm sure it'll come to me later. All right, well, let's do this. I did tell some people if they sent me some questions, I would send you stickers. All right, so I won't mention names. I'll just say that I had some pretty good, interesting ones. All right, so one of my favorite ones is, hey, Obi, what the fuck is your problem? I see you with all these bitches. Are you ever going to fall in love? I don't know how to take that question. All right, I'll tell you this. I'm honest about relationships, dude. I wasn't trying to be in a relationship until I retired. I'm retired now, and if I find somebody that's pretty awesome and I want to spend my time with her, that's great. But until then, I'm not in a hurry. And it might have been a little lonely here and there. And you know what? I was with the same chick for 10 years. So I just kind of wanted to make sure that I don't know how to say this. But I wanted to make sure that if I ever do fall in love or whatever and get married or whatever, I have everything taken care of. I let loose of all the fun shit, and I knocked all the, I guess, bucket list items, you want to say, and out, or whatever you want to call it. And then, yeah, I could probably live happily ever after or whatever with somebody. But like I said, I'm not in a hurry. And another one. I thought that was kind of funny. Did I eat the banana? No, I never ate the banana. And some of the other people are curious, what the fuck is a banana? Or once upon a time in Okinawa, there was a banana show. And I'm from Ohio, lived around Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, and California throughout my life. And when I heard banana show, I'm thinking farmer's market. I wasn't thinking what the fuck it really turned out to be. Well, anyways, what happens is there's this Japanese lady who asks for a bunch of quarters, and then everybody throws quarters on the stage. She puts them on top of a beer bottle. She hovers her body over top of it, lowers her vagina onto the fucking quarters, and inserts everything into her, right? Well, she then stands up, and she asks how much. And if you say $1.50, bitch, you know, she'll drop six quarters out of her hoo-ha. And if somebody screamed $2, then she'd drop eight quarters out of her snatch. It was pretty interesting and pretty gross, but whatever. Well, that was just the starting band for the fucking encore rock and roll star that she would do. She would take bananas and she would stick them inside of her, and she would launch them at you. She would chop them in half with her vajayjay, and she would shoot them across the bar. I remember sitting by a friend of mine, and I won't mention names, but I remember one being launched, hitting him in the forehead, and falling right into his beer, and it floated. And he looked at it, and he was drunk enough just to be like, mm. And he sipped his beer, no big deal. And that was that. And I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I just couldn't stop laughing. And then he looked at me and he started laughing too. And next thing you know, he didn't realize the entire bar was staring at him, just so nonchalantly drinking his beer with a shot vagina banana floating in his brouhaha. And speaking of ha-has, she shot one from her ha-ha into people's mouths. What would happen is there'd be somebody who wanted to eat the banana for some weird-ass reason. I don't know. I'm not really into going down on a girl I don't know, let alone fucking eating something that she shoots out of her hoo-ha. So she'll take a sponge, she'll put it down on the stage, and somebody will lay down with their head on the sponge, and she will hover over top of him and launch a fucking nanner into their fucking grape. And it's pretty disgusting. So, it's so disgusting you have to go see it multiple times. But anyways, that was always a trip. The next thing after that, I've seen people do that a couple times. The thing is, Okinawa had a lot of alcohol violations. So, with that being said, they locked down a lot of the bases, and people couldn't go on and off the bases. And when they started doing that, a lot of the nightlife had to go away, so a lot of the people went back to the Philippines. There was an alley, they called it Whisper Alley. It was just filthy fucking whores, dude. Just nasty, nasty, nasty whores. And people would stand in line, man. $20 showtime, sucky fucky, ochi, come here. And they would wait in line and then bang them. And it was kind of gross, you know. And I'm sorry. You know, hey, if some people got to pound it out that way, fine. I'm not against people seeing hookers. I think that if that's what you want to do, fine. But that's a whole other conversation for another time and place. But it wasn't for me. And also, I was young and a little bit cocky. And I did talk to a few girls there in Okinawa that I was having relations with. And they're fun. They're beautiful. And I would definitely go back in time to do that part again. So, never ate the banana man. And the person that asked me this, he would act mentally ill. Slow or challenged. I don't know what you would say. Other people would use the rude word of retarded. And he would knock on the doors. It's Tommy! Let me in! I want to see a boobie. Let me see one boobie. I'll give you a dollar. I just want a dollar. And he would do that. And people would laugh. They'd think it was funny. If you've seen it, you would laugh too. I know it sounds not nice, but shit was hilarious. And then again, this is the 90s. Lots changed since then. So, no, never ate the banana. Sorry, the guy who played Tommy. But that was one question. The other question was, at what point did you decide that you were going to stay in for the full 20? Real question. I like the first question. First one better, though. But when I decided I want to... When it got real to the point of I'm going to walk out the door. At the time I was married, I had a family, but that's really not it. I was in my second battalion. I was in NMCB 4, Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 4, and there was a lot of people I was in a previous battalion with. I started off in NMCB 5, and I just had a lot of the same people were coming there. Marty Yingling, it was coming in. George, there's a lot of people from my last battalion checking in, and it was the people, man. And it wasn't like I was going to make it a career. I was like, I'm going to stick around a little bit longer. There's a nice SRB, a reenlistment bonus, and I made a lot of money. And so the partying was fun. It was pre-9/11 when I reenlisted that time. And and that's it. And then I guess later on, 9/11 did happen, and it went from, oh shit, we're partying, to, oh shit, we're getting shot at. And all this basic combat skill stuff, they were like, fuck, this is stupid. Why do I need to know this? It became real shit, you know? So that's why I stuck around. It wasn't so much to kill bad guys. It was just keep the good guys in. I mean, I really don't shoot at bad guys. It's not my job. That's not my job description. My job is to make sure the construction is up and running and up to par. And the bad guys are getting shot at, not by me, but by our security element, which would be either other CBs or usually Marines and stuff like that. So that's that one. And what was your defining moment? Not as just a CB, just a semi-functioning adult. Your defining moment. I think for me, it was probably the hardest moment I ever had in my life, and I think it'll always be the hardest moment. I can't think of one that's going to top this. I put a kid in the Navy, Lucas Gallagher from Fremont, Ohio, or actually Gibsonburg, Ohio, the city next to mine. I'm from Fremont. He's from Gibsonburg. He hit an IED. He blew off two toes, and in the back of his calf. And our skipper, he called his sister, couldn't get a hold of his mom, and I called his mom, and I talked to his mom, and I told her what happened to her son. And Lori is her name. She was battling cancer, and she left his. She sent him her American flag do-rag that she wore over her head while she was going through chemo, and he had that in his closet, and I had to get that and bring that to him. So I think the events that happened within that 48 hours, him getting his, you know, hitting a fucking IED, the call with his mom, gathering his shit, taking his shit to him, that was pretty tough. And then there's a couple other guys, Dougie and a few other people grabbed his shit and then also took the rest of his stuff to him. But I think that right there was one of my defining moments as it was one of my hardest moments ever. You know, so that's that one. And that was a good question, Spida. My buddy's nickname was Spida. That asked that. Was there ever a time where you thought, what am I fighting for? By the way, I'm proud of you and thank you for your service and perseverance over the last 20 years. You're my hero. And address for where I can send a sticker. I'll tell you what. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the kind words. No. I knew what I was fighting for the whole time, but it's a little bit different than everybody else's definition. Like, a lot of people are like, what the fuck are we over there for? Blah, blah, blah. I didn't look at it for the reasons why we as a whole were there, because that would have been like going back and forth. Oh, this is just for fucking oil. No, it's to fucking kill off Hussein and his shitty fucking devil spawn, which fuck them, man. If you would have seen some of the shit that fucking Uday and buttfuck they did to people, it's fucking horrific, man. Like, if you've seen some of the kids that were fucked up, and I know that, but hey, look, I did construction, I did combat. But the thing was, is the combat was a defensive. It wasn't a fucking offensive. So I wasn't part of an assaulting force. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, being over there, my thing was to make sure that everybody came back with your fingers and your toes. And if any of my guys, CBs, are there, I want to be there. You know, if I'm a squad leader, I want to make sure I'm the best fucking squad leader in my capability. And I could give a fuck what I look like on your paper. Fuck your papers. I know that when I'm out in the field, I was one of the best motherfuckers leading the shit. And you know what? I didn't give a fuck about your evaluations. I didn't give a fuck about paperwork. I don't give a fuck about none of that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I walked out when I did. It might have been a poor attitude, but I actually played the game to how I wanted to. I didn't play the game the way the game's set up. I played my rules. I didn't play by the fucking game and the rules of the game. I played it to benefit me, and also I did it to benefit anybody that was around me, whether it was above me or below me. Either way, once my troop, always my troop, and I've stuck with that. And that's one of the reasons why I loved it, man. I'm a fucking hippie at heart. You know, if you fucking, like, before I came in, share your weed, dude. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to come back to you. You know, if you're smoking a joint, pass it to the left. You know, somebody's going to pass one to you coming from the right. You never know when it's going to come, but it's going to be there. And it's the same thing, you know? So take care of yourselves, take care of each other. It's the same thing, just in a different way. So that was that one. And then here's one. Are there any orders you've been given that you were conflicted with morally? Yeah and no. I mean, I know you're probably going for, like, was there any, like, I had to shoot somebody, but like I said, I really wasn't a combatant, and that's usually the questions people come at you with. But for me, morally, there were, like, not major things, like, a lot of little things. Write somebody up for something I've done a bazillion fucking times, and I wouldn't do it. You know, I went 20 years without writing one single counseling shit. Because I could always talk to somebody and pull them aside and usually get in their head, or, you know, it wasn't my thing. You know, I could usually figure out a way. I don't want to say manipulate, but I guess that would be the terminology. But I don't mean it in a bad way. I can usually, you always try to find the good in somebody and center it out, and then make them see the good in themselves, you know? Because if you give them a fucking mirror and you don't just let them know how much of a piece of shit they are, they're going to keep thinking they're a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? So what you want to do is you want them to find the center in themselves. I know it sounds like the Tool song in reverse, but that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that they know that they're a good person and they're fucked up. I think the best things I've ever done was yelling at a troop, but was not yelling at a troop. Like, just like saying, hey, man, what the fuck were you thinking, dude? Do I really need to yell at you? Do you know better? And right there, and a lot of other people, and they understand, and that's it. That's all you had to do. A lot of other people do fucking paperwork and scream and yell, and which, that's two sides of the coin, and I can give you devil's advocate for what I just said. The other side of that coin, you know, and you want to look at both sides of the leadership aspect of this, is that you didn't create a paper trail, so how are you going to prove that you did something? You know, because I've actually seen people that really shouldn't have been in the military, but there wasn't a paper trail to get rid of them. There was one person that got capped, got promoted, because there was no paper trail saying that they're a piece of shit, even though they're a fucking piece of shit. So was there some? Yeah, there was some, but it's just all little things, you know, mostly like yelling at, just things I didn't like to do. And I would much rather take a hit and then worry about, I would rather worry about getting my ass chewed and walking away and feeling good about myself. That's the whole thing at the end of the night, you know? I won't comment on the banana anymore. I don't want your post to turn on. Okay, that was just further on the other one. Okay. How do you put up with stupid civilians like myself so graciously and without malice? Love you, man. Be safe. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, can I get two stickers, please? One for my skateboard and one for my van. Thank you. All right. So here's the thing. Yeah, you can have one for your skateboard and for your van. Please make sure it's not used in anything. I don't know. Make sure it's not a rape wagon, because I really don't want my sticker associated with something like that, because I don't want any ladies being taken without their consent, unless you, Yeah, just make sure it's... I'll send you two stickers, man. But, yeah, just make sure you don't use that van in any crime whatsoever. Here's the thing. A lot of people, like, when it comes to understanding civilians and being a military guy, the thing is, basically, just understand that civilians have no clue what the shit you're going through. They don't know what you've lived. They only know a small, like, little thing. Like, I'll say I've been in for 20 years, and a lot of people think that I've been deployed for 20 years. Or they think that I still live in an open bay barracks. In other words, they still think I'm living in a big-ass building with a shit ton of bunk beds, and I have to go to bed by 8 o'clock every single night, and I have to be on base every night by a specific time, and they think that you got to do all this other stuff, and that's not the case, man. You know, so you just got to understand that civilians have no clue what the shit you've been through, you know? So, and also just patience, and then it goes right back to the same thing, is there's good in everybody. Most people don't have a bad intent, and for me, this is how I look at everything. This is what made me get through a lot of things in life. I look at everybody and anybody and see how they act and how they treat everybody around them. And remember, everybody was a kid once, okay? And try to think about what everybody else was like as a child. And don't talk to them like a child, but talk to that person grown up. You know? And it sounds dumb. I do it as a comic. And I do it as I did it as a leader, you know, and just... try to just treat everybody like you want to be treated and give them the common courtesy, talking to them like an adult. But remember that they were all kids and everybody had feelings. Even the hardest of motherfuckers still wanted to hang out and throw a football or a frisbee or play Xbox or fucking brush Barbie's hair, do some shit. You know, so everybody was a child once. And just try to think that, you know, that's that child grew up. And that child was somebody's baby. So... and that's kind of a civilian or military person. That's just kind of how I look at things. So that's that. I'm sure there's probably more questions. I'm running a lot of time. I was trying to get down to the comedy store. And, well, I'm still going to make it, but I'm going to make it pretty late. Look, guys and gals and motherfuckers that are listening, I really love you guys. I appreciate you. If you need anything, shoot me a text, inbox me, whatever. If you want stickers, just let me know. And follow me on Twitter at Josh96O'Brien. Instagram at Josh96O'Brien. Same thing. Fucking Facebook. Whatever. All that stuff. Please, if you dig the show, tell people about it. Get people interested. And I have no fucking problem answering any questions. I'm not going to give you bullshit. And I'm probably not going to tell you the answers you want to hear. Because I'm going to tell you straight up how I feel and what's up. So... shoot me any of them and I'll send you a sticker. And, hey, for everybody that I've followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For everybody I've led, thanks for letting me be a better person. Much love, many thanks. And fuck the bozos. Don't forget, Obi loves you. I'm out. We'll be right back.
one in California and one back in Detroit. I got one in California and one back in Detroit. I put my woman in Nashville, cast a bottle with her daddy all night. Yay. Well, she hauled my asses, but she took them too far away. Just what my three women do. Yeah, I wish I could tell you just what my three women do. But if I open my mouth, well, that'll be three women that I lose. Yeah. Now I know what you're thinking. What gives me the right? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. What gives you the right? Well, these women must be getting something, cause they come and see me every. Love it.